Here was John the Baptist. How to have a voice that makes your name. See, John the Baptist, he only had one thing in his goal in his mind, and that was to preach whatever Christ wants him to preach. He didn't want him to go in, do a survey, and see what the people want. We're to preach the Word of God. We shouldn't be ashamed of what we are. I want people to know what we are, don't you? But how to have a voice that makes your name? That's John. He just gets up and preaches. You know, my son and I, we don't get up on Sunday morning and say, man, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm preaching in Romans, and I don't think I should preach those verses. They're kind of hard. I don't think we ought to do that. We don't do that. We just, whatever comes next. That's why I like, that's what I love. Now, every Baptist doesn't like verse-by-verse preaching. I have no idea why. They say, oh, no, they don't believe in that. They believe in sitting under a tree, letting an acorn fall on you, and God gives you the sermon while you're hunting. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Some of you? Amen? Amen. And you get hit by an acorn, and you get up and said, I was sitting under a tree, God hit me, and I got my message. We're going to cover acorns today. Well, there's nothing wrong with having a good message that's not verse by verse. But what I love about verse by verse, and the reason I believe our church is what it is today, is because we've been verse by verse. A lot of you have been through almost the whole Bible as you've been here for years. And sometimes, yeah, we preach the same book over and over. I never have. If I'm preaching a book, I preach Revelation four times. I never take a sermon that I've already preached. I start from scratch every time. Why do you do that? Because I want to learn. I'm not satisfied. I want to learn the Word of God. So point one is fix the road. And Luke 3:4, as it is written in the book of the words of Elias the prophet, that's Elijah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Clear it up, get it ready. That was taken from Isaiah 40, verse 3. You can read it yourself. But it was a custom of kings, especially the Hindu kings, that whenever they went somewhere, they would send out messengers 2 or 3 days ahead to prepare the way and make it straight. They're clear of the way. John was a preacher. And genuine preaching, and we can take this from John the Baptist. It was lively. It was not dry. It was timely. It was not stale. Now, there's several kinds of preaching. One is, they preach so hard, their blood vessels about pop out of their veins. Remember the one I told you about, and he jumps up on the top of the pulpit? He's a guy in Chicago. And man, I have never seen anything like it in my entire life. I didn't know if he was going to jump off, commit suicide. I was scared to death. But that's what he did. But see, you're not supposed to be dead either. You're supposed to have life. A church is supposed to have life. It's not supposed to be rolling in the aisles. It's not supposed to be running the pews. But it's supposed to have life. And you know, here it's John. He's in the wilderness. Now, many of us have been over to Israel, and we've gone to that same wilderness. It starts right, as I said last week, as you go over the Judean hills, and it runs down to Jericho, and it runs almost halfway to the Sea of Galilee, and then it goes all the way to the Dead Sea and to Qumran, past Qumran, and that's the Judean wilderness. And I think the thing that amazed me more than anything in that wilderness is there was always some vegetation, and the sheep could still thrive on that small amount of vegetation. That amazed me. One of our trips, I don't know which one, some of you might remember, but I'll never forget it. I'd heard that the sheep knew the shepherd's voice and knew them by name, so I went up to a Bedouin shepherd, and I said, and I the best I could talk to him, and he understood enough English, I said, Do you have them all named? He said, yes, sir. I said, could you call them by name? He said, yes, sir. And this Bedouin shepherd, he had tobacco running down his mouth and chewing, you know, no teeth. And it's all coming. And he called the first sheep. And the first one was named Bob Steele. I don't know where he got that name. I don't know anything about it, but he said, hey, Bob Steele. And Bob comes running over. No, seriously, he called them all by name. And they all came over. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, I know the Bible says it. But see, everything in the Word of God is true. And it says that God knows us by name. And it was just a way to kind of understand that. So he did his duty. And you know, John the Baptist, of all those born among women, Christ said he's the best that ever lived. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And the best man that ever lived, born of woman, was John the Baptist. Better than Elijah, better than David, better than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, better than Joseph, better than Daniel. Pretty good man. But see, he never thought of self. He just got up and preached. That's what every preacher should do. You shouldn't get up and say, well, what's this going to do? Now, I don't mean that we should do things that's going to make people mad at us on purpose. But if it's in the Word of God, you preach it. If it's there, you preach it. Some people go to churches and they say, yeah, my preacher's getting awful liberal. Then why are you going? I remember we were kidding Jim Costello today. We were down doing our pre and our post after church. You know, Jim takes his, he's got an album that he takes with him everywhere he goes. So if anybody asks for weddings, or he can show them pictures. And he just, everywhere he goes, even if he's at work, he has his picture album real close by. He's very proud of it. So he went over one day and he met this guy. And the guy looked at him and he showed him his pictures. And the guy was cooking a barbecue and wanted Jim and Patty to come over. And so Jim shows him his book of pictures. And the guy looks right at Jim's face. He said, man, you got a great camera. I'd like to get one of those. Well, Jim wasn't happy about that. He was very upset, actually, about that. Extremely upset. So the guy got through doing the hamburgers. And he said, you know, that was a great meal. I believe you've got a great Weber grill. Got him back. No, that wasn't Jim. It was a story that people tell, but it wasn't Jim. But no one would like that, would they? Well, see, here's the wilderness, the Judean wilderness. And here's John the Baptist doing what he's supposed to do. And he's telling about this one coming. Now, someone said, well, John the Baptist believed in works. And he said, be baptized for the remission of sin. Well, John the Baptist never meant you to be baptized to be saved. What did he say when he saw Christ? He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. How did he think you got your sins taken away? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But they didn't. Look at Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And then when you see Leviticus 16, and I'm not going to read them all now, but I want you to realize that they had the two goats, and the goats were supposed to, one goat was the scapegoat, and they put the sins of Israel. And he was to go out in the wilderness. They say, in the books I've read, said that they always had a man out there to make sure the scapegoat didn't wander back into the people. And the scapegoat would represent the sins of the people of Israel. Christ was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This region must have been very impressive to the people that would come out. Can you imagine people coming out all the way to the desert to hear John the Baptist? But look at us. Look at people. Look at our sports today. Everything is sports. Packed out. Miami and Boston, packed out. Just packed out. And most everybody's rooting for Boston because they don't like LeBron. LeBron may be one of the better athletes ever, but they don't like him because he left Cleveland. How could anybody blame anybody for leaving Cleveland? No. But they listen to us preach it in the desert. And unless it rains, and you can be flash flooded in the desert, but the streams are dry. And I think he used the desert to let people realize their condition. And they would go all the way out to see John the Baptist, phenomenon. And they want to go out and see him and hear him. And how many of us realize sometimes how dry, how much we need him, how dry we are? You ever think of that? That wilderness, that desert. And the old days that we used to go from Jericho to Jerusalem, and I'll say that I love that trip. It's not near as nice now. They've got 4-lane highways now, and it's just not near as nice. It's still nice. It's still gorgeous. But I loved it. And we could see the old Jericho Road, the very road that Christ traveled. There's still some of it there. There always will be. But you look over and you say, I know that my Savior literally walked that road. Now, if you can walk from Jericho to Jerusalem, you're a tough person. No jogger can compete with that. And that's where the wilderness was. And when I would go by, see the Bedouin tents, see the sheep and the goats, I would be so, so impressed. But John the Baptist, he said, make it straight, remove all the obstacles. The Messiah's coming. Prepare you the way of the Lord. And that's what John the Baptist did. He always preached what he's supposed to preach. He didn't get up there and say, you think I'll be famous if I do this? I want to be famous. No, he didn't want to be famous. He wanted to preach the Word of God. That's what anyone that wants to be a preacher should say, I want to preach the Word of God. Some of you say, well, I'm not qualified. Well, listen, is anybody qualified? I don't think anybody's qualified to be a preacher. But if you can be like John the Baptist, you can be a preacher. Some people cave into other people's opinions. Whatever that opinion is, that's all they want. Now, I realize we could fill this church if we just would appreciate other people's opinions and not the Word of God. But we wouldn't have this church. You wouldn't have a church that you couldn't even get a place to park yesterday at our new campus. There were people parking on the road that comes into our campus. Isn't that exciting? Boy, when you see it, that needs a lot of work, but it'll come quickly. You know, some people don't see things through faith. Remember when this building had a month to go and I said in a month we're going to be meeting here in church, and I don't believe a one of you in this whole church believed it. And then all of a sudden, it's fixed. And we were here. Wasn't that exciting? Well, that's John the Baptist. He was beheaded. He told the king, hey, the woman you have is not your, and it was really infidelity. It was incest because they were related. And he said, what you're doing is sinful. And John the Baptist lost his head and served on a platter. That would gross us Americans out, but it didn't gross them out. Never used to that. Didn't even faze them. Just didn't faze them. It fazed me, and I hope it always fazes, but it didn't faze them. But see, these were wicked people, but they go out to the desert to see John. And he was beheaded for doing the right thing. Whenever a person utters the truth, people don't like him, do they? They really don't like him. They just don't like him. I've known people that were so wicked, that did so many wicked things, that did more things than you could ever imagine, and they'd still talk about this church, like no one could be more wicked than the ones in this church for preaching the truth. Well, that's what they do. Point two, every impediment must be removed. Every valley, verse 3:5 of Luke, shall be filled, and every mountain shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, the rough ways shall be made smooth. Did you ever do something that you wished you hadn't have done? You say something, I've done it in the pulpit so many times, and I get out of the pulpit and I say, why on earth did I say that? And I go to my wife, I said, was that really bad? I said, you think it's the end of the church? She said, no, you've done so many of those before, it won't matter. There was a situation where a mom and dad, and they had a little boy, and he was 5 years old. And up above them was another apartment, and a lady lived there. There's an older lady, quite old, up in her 90s. They hadn't heard from her forever and ever and ever and ever. They hadn't heard at all from her. This lady was so old. So he said, sent the boy up, would you go check and see how old Mrs., I'm going to say Jones, is? So the five-year-old goes up, knocks on the door. Mrs. Jones came. The little boy came down. How's Mrs. Jones? She's madder than a wet hen. Why? She said, it's none of your business how old she is. You know, kids do that. They just don't see it the way we see it, do they? Mom said, go see how old Mrs. Jones is. And he went and said, how old is Mrs. Jones? True story. Well, maybe not. How do you have a voice that makes your name? Well, the mountain of pride must be reduced. We got to get rid of our pride. It says, receive the kingdom of God as a little child. But some people won't get saved because they can't get rid of their pride. Some people won't get saved until they get the reasoning all figured out, and they won't take him by faith till all mysteries are comprehended. But look how many people God taught in the wilderness. Moses was given a postgraduate course for 40 years. That's quite a course, isn't it? That's right. Much of David's training was given in the wilderness. Elijah, the prophet, were given in the wilderness. Our blessed Savior spent 40 days in the same wilderness that we're talking about. When you go to Jericho, now we don't stop at Jericho anymore because it's not safe. So we don't stop where it's not safe. It used to be one of my favorite places to ever be. And above that is where they think Christ was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights up in those hills over Jericho. Well, John the Baptist knew that salvation was by Christ and Christ alone. And that's what he was really preaching. Behold the Lamb of God. If God is going to comfort men, they first must own their utter good-for-nothingness in His sight. Just exactly what we preached this morning. Do you ever realize you're nothing? Do you really think you're something? I remember years and years ago, we were actually still in that frame building, and I happened to walk up on a family, and they said, I just think our family's above most of the families in this church. They didn't know I was there. Oh, really? I was just impressed to be in their presence. Because nobody better than anybody else. Is there? No, sir, they're not. Well, they must see how bad they are. You remember the days, and we'd just gotten rid of the awfulness of slavery, but if you didn't have a house, you couldn't vote. Women couldn't vote. If you didn't have a house, you had to own land to vote. You say that can't. Oh, yes, it can be. It was. That had to be fought for, too. Everybody has a right to vote now. So we need to see that. He was the voice. He had no desire to hear his name whispered among the crowd. John the Baptist was a voice. He just preached. He was just the voice. Make straight the Lord's paths. It's a terrible thing to cast obstacles for people not to get saved. I've seen it happen over and over again. I've seen people put obstacles. I've seen the situation with even one of our pastors where people put obstacles. They didn't care what happened to that church. They didn't care if people were being saved. They only cared about themselves. That's an awful thing. In Psalm 86:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And that's what we need to do. Napoleon Bonaparte said, if Socrates would enter the room, we would rise and do him honor. But if Jesus Christ came in the room, we would fall on our knees and worship him. Now, knowing Napoleon Bonaparte from history, I would wonder if he would really do that, but that's what he did say. Point three, display of his grace. Luke 3:6, and the flesh shall see the salvation of God. In Isaiah 40:5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Boy, that ought to get us excited, shouldn't it? There's no person portrayed by the pen of inspiration less understood than John the Baptist. I'll bet you if John the Baptist and you have opinion of him, and we said, next Sunday, John the Baptist is going to preach here. Well, you all would come. You'd be excited. But what would be your picture of him? What would you think he'd look like? I bet you think he'd have locusts streaming out his hair. I bet you think his hair would be ugly. I bet you think that he'd be so unkept. I bet you if John the Baptist appeared, he'd be a man that could have done anything he wanted to do in life. But he became the voice. That's what I bet you. But he was so misunderstood. He stood at the door inviting people to enter. But he himself, now he was saved, of course, but he's telling people that this new dispensation is on the way, and he didn't get to enter it. This dispensation of Christ, boy, is that great. Think of that. All those, John the Baptist was the greatest of all that ever lived. Isn't that great? Greatest thing ever. Are you going to be a voice? How to have a voice that makes your name? You speak the words of truth and don't worry about your name and you'll have a name. People will trust you. You should be so good that even the people that hate you will still trust you. Do they trust you? When you give your word, do you mean it? Do people believe you? Do they know if you say something it'll happen? Or do you say something and later forget it? You better think hard before you promise something. Because if you don't think hard, you're going to pay a price, right? How about to your grandkids? You ever tell your grandkids something? You better live up to it. You better live up to it. And your kids, or your family, or your neighbors, whatever it is. Well, I want to share with you the wonderful gospel. How wonderful it is. Look over here at my right. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of works. It's a gift. How much is a gift worth? It's worth everything. It's worth everything. Now, we're going to use this McGovern for president thing. I bet he won't do that again. And God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. You've got to get rid of all your sin to go to heaven. Christ, who never sinned, 2 Corinthians 5:21, was made sin for us that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. He who never sinned was made sin for us, so we can be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Isn't that great news? Our sins have all been paid at Calvary. Doesn't that just, I love that word Calvary. I'm glad we have the name Quinton Road Bible Baptist Church. I believe if I had it to do all over again, I would call ourselves Calvary Baptist Church. Don't get shocked. Some of you, your faces went, mouth flew open. No, I think I would. I just love the word Calvary, don't you? I do. I'm not changing it, don't worry. We're not moving the church out to the college, I promise, unless it be something better for the kingdom. You know, we're not hooked on anything, are we? Remember when we voted to sell our other building, a hexagon that we'd built? And I'll never forget you guys. I got up, said, we found this 40 acres. We'll have to sell this property. Y'all didn't even know it was coming. I said, the board's already voted for it. You had to vote for it. And it was unanimous that we would sell that property and move out here. That's a dedicated church. We're not hung up on buildings and all the things that we do. We're hung up on the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to win Him. Do you know you're going to heaven or do you not? Do you still have sins on you? Can't have any. Christ paid it all. If He paid it all, we don't have to, right? Isn't that great news?